Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Coming up in this edition of TV Black Box, let the next battle begin. We'll have a look at what's ahead as a new crop of shows come to our screens. Is Foxtel overstating its ratings by up to 40%? New data is casting doubts about some of their claims. And why Malk is very unhappy about breakfast TV live crosses. Welcome to the podcast where people in the industry get their news. This is TV Black Box.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Hello there, I'm Rob McKnight. Welcome to another fun-filled edition of TV Black Box. In the chair tonight, it's TV producer Abby Milkerson. Hello, Abby.
Hello, Rob, and I am recording tonight on the land of the Ku-ring-gai people. I have moved. Ooh. No longer Gadigal people, now Ku-ring-gai people. And yeah, just want to acknowledge them and pay my respects to them.
Still got no idea where you live. Viewers advocate Steve Mock is with us. Hello, Mock.
That's part of the trick, Rob. I'm coming to you tonight from the land of the Darkinjung people, and I'd like to pay my respects to their elders past and present. And you know what? And their emerging young elders as well.
All righty. And filling in for a sick David Robinson, it's the return of an old favourite, Sarah Monahan. Welcome back.
I am coming to you from the Damn Good Studios in Marrickville, where I now work.
Now, tell us about this. This is a podcasting space.
So it's actually we do events and then they film TV shows. They're going to, on the sly, do my TV show eventually. But then they also have a green screen studio, a podcast studio, a full kitchen setup. So if you need to film, like, you know, any kind of Jamie Oliver type stuff, they actually do that. And so, yeah, my job is to do events and then also produce some of the stuff.
Well, we know that Jamie Oliver doesn't rate, but other cooking shows too. Can I just tell you what a TV slash media slash radio geek I am? Today I was on air doing my entertainment report on 4BC Afternoons and I was talking about the ratings for the NRL and I predicted 500,000 and the ratings were 428,000 for the Dolphins versus Broncos match.
Yes.
Okay, in the five cap city. And I said, so I was only 32,000 off. And Sophie says to me, what do you mean? That's not right. And I'm like, what? I didn't understand. It wasn't until I came off air that I realised I was thinking in terms of actual timings. You know, 60 minutes, you know, 60 being the top minus the 28,000 is 32.
Rob,
you tried.
That's amazing on so many levels.
I was like, I don't know what you're saying. And she's like, no, try again. She was trying to get me to do math on the air. It was car crash radio, let me tell you. I'm just like, I don't understand what you're saying, Sophie.
Can't get enough on-air math, quite frankly.
I know. It's why people listen to the Entertainment Quarter Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays at 2:45. On 4BC.
Shameless. Right,
let's get into it. I am shameless. Well, last week we were expecting a new anti-siphoning list to be announced by the federal government. What we got was, well, more of the same. The current anti-siphoning list has been renewed for a period of 3 years with minimal changes to allow the government to undertake a review.
Oh, fuck.
Another review. Mulk, I've got to imagine there's a lot of frustration from various interest groups on this one. I guess Free TV will be happy because they've got another 3 years.
Yeah, guaranteed that Free TV Australia, that represents our commercial TV network interests as a lobby group, will be stoked because basically nothing's changed for them. So happy days, play the course. Obviously,
although, Mulk,
yes,
there is that loophole where there is nothing to stop a streaming service obtaining exclusive rights to a sporting event.
Short of government intervention, which is basically what happened when Amazon came sniffing around. Was it the cricket, I think? I can't recall what it was. Look, it is a difficult position. I appreciate with a reasonably new federal government in place that we've got a new communications minister who has to be brought up to speed and all of those sorts of things. And all of the lobbyists had to re-lobby once the new government yeah. came in. I don't know that we needed it renewed for 3 years. That's just governmental rubbish, quite frankly. And it still means that we're in no man's land when it comes to some of the changes that I think absolutely are necessary, as much as the ones that are being lobbied for by the various interest groups. What do you think, Abby?
Well, I just wanted to ask a question as someone who knows nothing about sport and nothing about the anti-siphoning or whatever. What do you think realistically the changes will be, whether it's in 3 years' time or whenever? Like, what is the direction that it's all heading? Because I just know nothing about it.
Look, you've got it right. The anti-siphoning list is almost entirely about sport. It's about making sure that big sporting events and major popular sporting codes are available in their first instance on free-to-air television, free to all Australians. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we've got things like the Australian Open men's and women's final must be on free-to-air. The Melbourne Cup must be on free-to-air. The AFL, actually the entire season of the AFL and the entire season of the NRL must be on free-to-air unless the free-to-air partner effectively offers over their rights to their pay TV partner. Mm-hmm. So, which is what happens in a round-to-round basis on the AFL and NRL, except when it gets to things like State of Origin and the AFL and NRL Grand Finals, where they go, oh, no, we'll do that and you just can't have it, Foxtel, even though Foxtel pay 2 to 3 times what 7 and 9 do respectively for their various deals around that. So that certainly that's what Foxtel are pushing for, at least, is some parity in that. The big question additionally around it is, as Rob inferred, that there are streaming services, particularly places like Prime Video and Disney Plus, that are just going, you know what, we might get in on this, and they can roll up with just 2 truckloads of money and offer it to a code and go, so we're going to have that all on our service. And
now that's what happened in the UK with Sky Sport.
Yes.
Basically, they came in and took up all the football/soccer rights. And so they took it away from free-to-air TV, forcing people to go to the pay-per-view model or, you know, subscription model. Ooh. And the whole point of the anti-siphoning list was to stop that happening here. The Australian broadcasters went, you can't allow this, started down that political road of it should be free. We're giving it to viewers for free. Why are you going to make people pay for it? It was very effective.
And to their credit... Sorry, Rob, just to jump in, to the free-to-air network credit, at the time that they jumped up and down about this and said, hey, actually, you know, not only is our business built on it, but Australians want to watch the sport and they should be able to do it for free, the networks were all paying sizable license fees to the government, and they are no longer doing that.
I have a question, though. If you have to pay to go see the game in person,
yes.
What's the difference between then you paying to see it on TV versus seeing it on pay TV or free TV? Because like in the US, things will be free outside a city where the thing is playing unless the stadium is sold out, and then they will play it free. But if it's not sold out, they want people to go to the stadium and pay for it instead of seeing it for free on television.
It used to be the same with the cricket. If a match was in Sydney and the game wasn't sold out, you could watch that game in other states.
But not in Sydney.
And you couldn't watch it in Sydney. In fact, a lot of people would tune their aerials to win in Wollongong in Sydney to try and watch the cricket. That doesn't happen anymore. It's a very good question, Sarah. There is an expectation now that with the sporting events we're used to getting on free-to-air TV, we get them for free, and that is the expectation. And that is the political pressure the free-to-air networks will place if it comes down to those sports being removed. So what companies like Foxtel are now saying is that, well, hang on, what if we say we're going to put it on Binge for free so you don't have to pay for it?
Or KO
now
for
this,
free.
this takes away the whole idea of the freeware broadcasters being able to say, well, we're offering it for free. Now, the argument will be about linear television and access to it, whereas the argument from the streamers and from Kayo will be, well, we've got a lot of penetration. It's an argument holding on to historical expectations, I guess is what you would say. And really, from a free-to-air TV point of view, it's going to be diminishing returns, because every time something gets removed from that list and there's more of an equal playing field in this new technology, it will affect them. Having said that, the free-to-airs are actually saying, well, we want streaming rights as well as the free-to-air broadcast rights.
And we're seeing this, Rob, play out in the most recent AFL deal that Seven and Foxtel did. Because right now, the current deal that Seven have with the AFL is that they cannot stream it. That is solely the rights of Foxtel. And in the new deal, Seven will be able to stream the games that they broadcast. So that's a huge boost for them, because right now they're getting no ability to get an online audience attracted to those games. And to do, even though Foxtel will also be broadcasting them and also streaming them, Seven are missing that piece of the puzzle. We're in a really special place where a whole lot of these things have come together for the Australian free-to-air networks around the ability to stream and growing streaming audiences and all of the stuff that we continue to bang on about around how do we measure the audience and what's happening. Finally, they've got to a point where they've caught up, and so we want to be able to stream, which means that streaming-only services go, well, we can get in on this, and the current linear broadcaster, 7, 9, 10, go, no, you can't. That's not allowed, or it's playing against the nature of the legislation. It's this hyper-political...
There's a lot of vested interests.
Hyper-political mess that is absolutely ruled by lobby groups. So all it's done for Mine is delayed what will be a reasonable change to the anti-siphoning list for 3 years.
And it's very tough for any government to make the decisions, because no one will be happy. All right, the second quarter of the year is just around the corner, and with that comes the launches and returns of a whole lot of shows across the networks. Included in Seven's lineup is Farmer Wants a Wife, Million Dollar Island, The Claremont Murders, and Seven News Spotlight returns. On Nine, we'll be seeing Lego Masters, Grandmasters, RPA, Travel Guides, and The Summit. Over on 10 is the return of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, MasterChef, Secrets and Surprises, Have You Been Paying Attention, and The Cheap Seats. I've got to ask you, Abby, is anything tickling your fancy? I've got to say, I saw The Summit today. That looks interesting. But the balloon one on Channel 7...
Blow up.
Oh, that's going to explode in flames. It's going to pop. It's going to be terrible.
I agree with that about the balloon one. I am, like, sadly not that excited about any of these, really. Like, I saw the promo for Million Dollar Island last night during maths. Couldn't have cared less. Like,
I think that looks great.
No, I didn't mind it initially from the announcement and the premise and everything, but actually seeing the promo, it didn't interest me at all. I usually watch the first two or three episodes of Lego Masters, which I do really like, but I find after a few episodes it's a bit same. I think probably Have You Been Paying Attention in Cheap Seats is where I'll go the most out of all of those, just because they're not ones that you have to follow along with. You can just jump in and out and... Mm. Yeah, none of the other ones have really grabbed me, unfortunately.
And good on the Cheap Seats, hey? Mm. You know, like...
Backed it from the first episode, Rob.
Me too.
You did. And I was skeptical, and yet I think it's come good. I think it's a great little show.
It's come good.
I've got to say, they've listened to the feedback, Mulk. You could see they actually listened to the feedback.
I still think it should be a 30-minute show, but I do like it, but it is still too long for me.
Okay. Sarah, I've got to say, the Million Dollar Island and the Summit, Million Dollar Island on 7 and the Summit on 9, they look really good to me. They're probably the ones I've got my McKnight... I don't know what I was trying to do there.
Radar?
The ones I've got my eye on.
Your McKnight donger? I mean, what are you talking about?
I thought when I got back to Australia this trip that I would just watch TV nonstop just to catch up on everything. And I spent like a day and I'm like, this is all shit. Well, and it doesn't help. So I've worked it out. My brother has one of those smart TVs, and trying to work out how to just do up and down like you did in the old days for us old people. There's like 18 remotes and I had to work that out. And it's like, how do I just watch free to air? And it was such a difficult thing. And then everything was like the morning TV.
Sarah Monahan is an old person.
I'm an old person. But then, like, I watched some stuff, and it's like morning TV. I tried to watch that, and it's just infomercial after infomercial. And the nighttime stuff, I really like The 100 with Andy Lee, and I like I actually watched The Project a few times. There was a few things I watched, but NCIS Sydney is not on that list, and that's all I care about.
Yes.
It's not here yet. And just, by the way, morning TV in Australia is great, especially occasionally when they get a member of the TV black box.
Okay, when one of these people on this week, Rob?
I was on the morning show last Friday, and I'm back on it this Friday in studio.
Who'd have thought?
When you show up between the infomercials, that's great. But
that's not
need
true.
To get rid
people
of
say
the
that shit. And as a former maker of morning TV, I dispute it and I reject it.
Rob, are you thinking about carpet?
No. It was fine with Jono. Everybody else sucks. Agreed.
Rob, I think that in that list that you read out, you missed a couple of really important ones, and they are the SBS shows that are coming in Q2. The ones that they are lining up that they're talking about for Q2 at least are the documentary by Jess Hill about consent that they're launching, and now I've just forgotten the name of it. What's it called? Here we go. Asking for It. That's going to be launching very shortly, and that's been very, very highly promoted by SBS. The other thing, and I was very fortunate to get along to the premiere preview of this, Alone Australia is launching on SBS this Wednesday, and it is absolutely my new obsession. If you have watched any of the Alone series, the Australian version is absolutely as good, if not better. Oh, my freaking God. They drop 10 people in the remote wilderness of Tasmania, and last one out wins $250,000. They don't know how the others are doing, so it could literally be the winner is out there for 4 months or the winner is out there for 3 weeks. It's that
kind of
situation.
Have you seen the American version of that show, Mol?
I have seen one season of it, yes.
How does it compare to that? Because I love the American version.
Equal, if not better. Like, cool. It's seriously, the production they've thrown into it is phenomenal. The casting is brilliant. So that's SBS's, just a couple of SBS's offerings. I don't care if no one else watches Lego Masters Grandmasters. That show's been made for me and my family, and we're going to watch the shit out of that. Just love it way too much, Lego Masters. As far as everything else, look, I'm absolutely going to cast an eye across the summit and across Million Dollar Island. I think Million Dollar Island is almost has set itself up for failure. It's had so many false starts trying to get going that I think it's just coming
None
from behind
matters.
The eight ball.
Yeah, all that matters is what we see on the TV screen.
But I think that what we'll see will not directly reflect that, like, oh, sorry, guys, the show's late because we had problems. I just think that the reason they had some of the problems they had are going to be evident in how the outcome
People
comes out.
People said that about Titanic, James Cameron. Or they wrote it off because it had a few production problems
this is
and then
not
it
a
became
film,
this masterpiece, right. One of the biggest films ever made.
Sure.
This could be Australia's biggest reality TV
It absolutely could
ever.
Be. It's not going to be. The new season of MasterChef is going to be ho-hum. No one's going to really care about that at all. Have you been paying attention to the cheap seats will be the only thing to get any traction new for 10? Celebrity will be great, but no one's, again, it will get some interest, but nothing like Survivor Australia has, and that's been a phenomenal series. So the real battleground, of course, is going to be 7v9, basically Lego Masters versus Farmer Wants a Root.
And look, obviously, when it comes to quarter one, MAFS has done very well, and Australian Idol ended on a high, beating Survivor, even though this has been one of the best seasons of Survivor by all accounts. Interesting times. What's ahead? All right. In 2021, Netflix launched a games feature on their smartphone apps and have released 55 titles since then. I had no idea. However, the service is now saying it's committed to building out its games portfolio, with 40 games to be released this year, 70 more in development with partners, and 16 being developed by its in-house game studios. Included in this new direction is the acquisition of popular franchise Monument Valley. While the mobile app is the current place to go for Netflix games, they have said the overall vision is that members can play games on any Netflix device. Do you want games from Netflix, Sarah?
I wonder if they're doing this because The Last of Us was so popular. I don't even know if that's on Netflix, but since that was a game and there's several games now that have gone on to become shows, maybe that's their thing, is they're going to do games, see what's super popular, and then make those into TV shows.
And Monument Valley, which is the big one they've acquired, is actually being made into, I believe, a movie. But either way, I do wonder if that will mean Netflix will have the rights to that as well.
More than likely. Netflix did announce this some time ago, Sarah, so I think that it predates the Last of Us trend and all of those sorts of things. I would offer that this is Netflix trying to diversify, and it's a really easy thing to do for them to be able to pick that up, because they can go, we just need to test it in all these different ways, you know, smart televisions, iPhones, iPads, devices, those kinds of things, and make it go. And acquisitions like Monument Valley or those sorts of things are a really easy sell. They're really easy to pick up on that. I do not want a game in my Netflix console interface at all. I will go out and do other things. I don't care about Netflix. Give me games.
I kind of like it. I don't really see any downside. Like, if you don't want to play a game, don't play
a
game.
That's right.
I think, yeah. And so, like, yeah, I love it. I love Monument Valley. My brother owns it. I don't. So I'm excited to be able to play that eventually.
I loved it.
Like Rob. Oh. Yeah, so good. I, like Rob, had no idea that Netflix had games. I actually downloaded the Netflix app today on my phone to check, because I just couldn't believe I hadn't heard anything about it, and can confirm they do have games. So, yeah, I kind of like it. I don't know how much I personally will use it, but, again, like, there's no downside to it really. And I think it's just a good point of difference in, like, a really oversaturated market.
I'm sorry. I have just gone to Netflix on my app and found the games. I scrolled through and I've clicked on Stranger Things 3, the game, and it's taken me to the App Store. So this is something I can just get in the App Store anyway.
I
don't know how that. I can't really speak to that.
I'm not interested to know. I mean, it's great to know that that's what's happening, but I haven't explored it at all because I mean, personally, we subscribe to an Apple One family plan, which means that we get Apple Arcade as a part of that. So we get a whole bunch of games for free. So we don't need to jump into Netflix and to be accessing it there. I am, for those that don't know what Monument Valley is, it is a brilliant puzzle game where you play as a character in this kind of 3D universe where stuff moves, and it's part, you know, puzzle as much as it is art. It is absolutely incredible. And there's a second game, Monument Valley 2, that is phenomenal. Both of those games are brilliant. Hello, Abby.
I was just going to say Rob is looking very confused. He's clearly still looking at the games thing.
Still struggling.
I've just figured it out. So I am also now looking. So you can, it redirects you to the App Store, but you can only download that app if you're logged into your Netflix membership. So it is an external app, but it's run through Netflix. So I can't just go and type in Stranger Things and download the app.
So you get it for free if you've been referred by the Netflix app.
Yeah. So it just redirects you and then you just download it as normal and it comes up as a regular app.
The last time I ever downloaded a game was Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, my God.
I used to love that game.
1998.
When it was on the PC. No, but they came out with an iPhone version. But it was so hard to play and so poorly executed. I would try and play it on flights just to keep myself amused. And I ended up deleting it because it just didn't work. So whatever Netflix does, hopefully it works better than that. But, I mean, it's power to them for diversifying. It's just I'm not really a game person. But if you're a game person, I think it would be a brilliant idea.
Sure.
I just don't know that if you are a game person, you're going to Netflix for it. Anyway, coming up, is Foxtel overstating its ratings by up to 40%? New data is casting doubts about some of those claims. Why Malk is very unhappy about breakfast TV live crosses, and we'll find out what everyone's been watching in the TV binge box.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, the federal government is working on a framework around prominence rules for Australian TV and streaming services on smart TVs and other connected devices. This legislation will determine how apps and content are presented to audiences. In a submission, the ABC said visibility of their ABC iView service is diminished as they cannot justify paying additional costs and that broadcasters should not bear that cost. SBS has called for payment in exchange for prominence to be explicitly prohibited. Netflix, however, have said there are no clear policy objectives to support more prescriptive regulation, which could stifle competition and innovation. The final design of the framework is expected in mid-2023, where I'm sure it will then be put on a three-year review. this is difficult because if the government do say networks have to have prominence, then you've got a whole question about who goes first, who goes second. And if a company like Seven is willing to pay Samsung, or even Sky is willing to pay Samsung for prominence, why shouldn't they get that prominence based on the fact they're willing to pay more?
I think we need to take a step back and ask why the government even considering this, and it's because of successful lobbying by Free TV Australia. That's all it is.
You seem to have a problem with Free TV lobbying for what they want. There's no issue with that.
I think that they have extremely deep pockets and it leaves SBS and the ABC behind because they are not members of Free TV Australia because it is absolutely a lobby group on behalf of the commercial free-to-air broadcasters.
But shouldn't ABC and SBS have unlimited government money?
They don't have unlimited government money at all, Sarah, and that indeed is part of the problem for SBS and ABC.
We don't need to get onto a lefty-lovey ABC.
Wow. We're not even starting down that path, Rob. I think that, honestly, they're making an issue where there isn't an issue. What they're trying to say is we want to have the 7 Plus, 9 Now and 10 Play apps in the very first three positions. When you open up on your smart TV the apps bit, we want them to be preloaded and in the front of everybody else. And I think, honestly, they have to prove their value to find that position, not just buy their way into it.
I don't think it's a huge deal. I think consumers are smarter than that. I don't think people are just turning on their TVs and clicking the first thing that they see. In fact, we saw in that media consumption survey a few weeks ago that 44% of people said they always know which service they want to watch prior to turning on their device, and 41% said they sometimes know. So it's rare that people are just turning it on.
Sorry, Abby.
Yeah, and also I didn't even realize this was a thing until literally yesterday when I bought a TV for the first time in years, and Netflix had clearly paid a lot of money loading it up. It was like, watch Netflix, and then when you go to reorder all the apps, you can reorder any of them except for Netflix is the top one, and when you try and move it, it says this app cannot be moved.
Mulk is holding up his Fetch remote, which is a very good point because it has a Netflix button. Mm. And some of the new ones do have the Prime Amazon button as well.
My one has my one's got a lot of them. It's got Binge, Netflix, Prime, Disney Plus, Stan, KO. It's got a whole bunch, but clearly Netflix have forked out the money.
And that's the catch, right?
When you go to a hotel, they've always got the Netflix button.
That's right. Mm. They've paid for those remotes or paid however they want it to function so that when you press it, Netflix loads up. Like, it's from Netflix's point of view, I totally get it. And I understand from 7, 9 and 10 that they go, we have to fight that because Netflix has got that prominence and blah, blah, blah. I think absolutely, Abby, that where Free TV Australia are leaning into is that 41% and the other bit that haven't made a decision at all, that when they open up the thing, they go, oh, here's Channel 7, here's Channel 9, here's Channel 10, that they will interrogate that and hopefully find a program in the midst of it, as opposed to, like you said, the 44 that go in, I'm going to watch MAFS or I'm going to watch Farmer Wants a Wife or whatever it is.
But even the 41% were sometimes and the 44% were always. So that leaves a very small percentage of people who never.
That's true, but it's about making sure new people know where
it's hitting that 41%.
And
sometimes
it's a marketing cost, essentially. But the problem, what they're worried about, is that those marketing costs, if everyone are paying Samsung a fee, and I'll just say $1,000 per unit, or even $50 per unit, I don't know, $10 per unit.
Make up a number, Rob. Yeah,
$10 per television.
Is that close to 60?
The networks are paying to get their app at front and center. But yes. then Netflix comes in and says, well, Seven, you're paying $10. I'm going to pay $12. Nine says I'm going to pay $15. And then you've got a bidding war. And that is the problem that everyone's worried about.
That's what SBS are crowing about. They're saying that's the real concern. And that it just shouldn't be a thing.
That is the real concern for everybody, which is why the networks are wanting the prominence to be a thing. Whereas Netflix are obviously paying for that prominence in a variety. You see it. The Netflix button is always there on whatever kind of remote you buy these days, whatever kind of TV you get.
Can I wonder out loud, if this legislation goes through and 7, 9 and 10's apps are meant to be prominent, who's first?
That's what I was just saying before. That is a very good question. And it might be a case of that it rotates depending on the model.
That's what she said. I think, look, it's a challenge. There is no question. And frankly, instead of worrying about where their apps are in an on-screen display, Free TV Australia /7, 9 and 10 would be better off paying the remote makers of those things to, instead of just there being a Netflix button, there being a branded 7 Plus, 9 Now, 10 Play button on the remote physically. Turn the thing on, press the button, off you go.
Yeah, but that's part of the fee of what you pay. But, yes, you will end up with a long remote with all these different apps, and maybe that's
too
late,
mate.
Goes.
We've already got long remotes.
By the way, regarding your ABC iView, it's not like they don't pay marketing costs to get iView into the public domain.
I was just going to say, also looking at my remote now, there is an ABC iView button.
Shock! There you go. I'm sure they didn't get it for free, Abby. No.
We are making assumptions, but yes, I'd expect they would have paid some cash for it.
All right. The SMH is reporting ratings data associated with Foxtel might be overstated by as much as 40%, and it all comes down to duplication. Currently, Oztam tracks people watching subscription TV through 2,120 homes in metropolitan and regional areas. A separate measurement system, VPM, also tracks Foxtel's audience on KO, Sports and Binge. Foxtel also uses internal data to measure streaming consumption. Foxtel is privately disputing the claims of widespread inflation, but is working with Oztam to improve the methodology and ensure the audience figures are much more accurate. Abby, it's not great if Foxtel are selling themselves on one figure that is 40% inflated, especially when they're taking this data to advertisers.
Yeah, no, and that's 40% is a massive amount. I think this is completely different to network. We all know networks do a bit of spin in their numbers to make it favourable for
but
them.
But the numbers are real.
Yeah, exactly. If this is true, that is huge. And I think my big question would be, has it been done knowingly? And if
I don't
it has,
think so. Okay. Genuinely, I think this is one of those things where people have cobbled together the different ratings data, because it's like when a commercial network puts out the overnight figure. Oh, there's the national figure when you include the regionals, and now we've got our BVOD figure. You know, I don't think there's anything malicious in this whatsoever.
Okay,
it's just Oztam have looked at it and gone, "Hey guys, we think there's a problem here."
Yeah, and like if that, I hope that's the case, obviously. And if it is, then yeah, I hope there's a very big acknowledgement and a very big apology and a very big we messed up.
The issue is actually bigger than just the press releases. This is not a PR Jedi issue. The SMH story is saying that the way that the data is recorded, the panels that Oztam use to measure Foxtel are not being updated quickly enough to account for the rapid growth of its streaming services, including KO and new products like the IQ5. So
what does that mean in layman's terms?
But basically what it suggests is there are many different ways to access Foxtel content. And
yeah,
Oztam's data, which we have to say at this point is sacrosanct, short of them coming out and saying, actually, no, we've buggered it up. We're not going to suggest that by any stretch. The numbers that Oztam put out, in themselves, aren't being questioned. The challenge is, in part, that the content around the way people watch it is being poured into Foxtel, the Foxtel reports, differently to the way the free-to-air channel reports are being delivered. Because when it comes to if you access your stream via KO versus your stream via an IQ5 that uses IP services versus a satellite service, So two of those things are via your IQ and one of them is on an iPhone, iPad, tablet, whatever. It sounds to me, and I'm happy to say I've misunderstood this entirely, but it sounds like they're rolling all three in together, and that's actually not what the Oztam panels should be recording. It should only be recording the content out of the IQ, and because the IQ now does streaming as well as satellite, it's a pretty easy mark to say, well, they're the same data, but technically it's not. Technically because Go, Rob.
Is this why we've got a delay in VOS?
Look, it could well be, Rob. I don't know explicitly. It certainly feels like it because VOS has been coming for nearly 12 months and we still don't have it. And what VOS will do, for those that want to get into the nitty-gritty, I'll try and keep it really light. Every day now we get a report from Oztam called the Total TV Report, which is last week for the same day. So, like, today's Monday. Sunday last week we got their Total TV numbers, which was what was linear broadcast plus RegTam plus then everything people that watched on catch up plus the broadcast video on demand numbers to give us this whole new number. In the last week, these extra people have watched this show. So that's where we've been seeing Married at First Sight get anywhere between 50 to 75% uplift on these other methods of watching TV. But it's a week later. And what VOS is going to do is give us this for the night before. So on Mondays, we'll get Sunday's report. VOS will say, here's all the people that streamed it. Here's the people that watched it and have recorded it and watched it back in the last 24 hours or 12 hours since the data closed. All of those sorts of things. And particularly the commercial channels are champing at the bit for this, particularly our friend Mr. Warburton, because his perception is because it rolls in regional, which Seven go real big on, they get real good numbers regional.
Yeah.
And then they're suggesting that they're missing a whole portion of the story around broadcast video on demand. Now, the challenge is what we're seeing a week later with Total TV is actually telling us the story, telling us that day for last night's data. I don't think it's actually going to change it a whole bunch.
But the problem is 7 days later, you don't care what the ratings were 7 days ago. I think VOS is actually Warburton's right about VOS because we will talk about that story when we're talking ratings.
And I don't want to say artificially because it's not artificial, but it seems to be adding in figures to that will inflate the number, but all that's going to do is raise the baseline that is still then diminishing. So free-to-air television is still hard up against it, saying that, you know, as an example, last night's Australian Survivor got 522,000 Five City Metro for its second last episode. If we then add in the VOS figures, whatever they will be, we don't know yet, but let's hypothetically say it's another 20%, you know, all of a sudden that goes up another 120,000 viewers, and that's great news. Look at our show. Instead of 522, we got 642.
But it's a truer figure.
It is a accurate figure. However, what it's showing is we'll start to see, and this is where we'll see the benefit of VOS, the linear broadcast numbers going down and the streaming numbers going up, or the BVOD numbers going up. But still, I think the overall trend for free-to-air television will be it's going down.
Yep.
That's the catch.
All right. Okay, today I saw a tweet from our good friend Mulk.
Hey, that's me.
And he wasn't happy. It caught my attention. And he wasn't happy. It read, "Nice work at sunrise on 7, a live cross to a reporter at 5 a.m. local time on the side of a lake where a guy caught a shark 2 days ago. Currency is never to be confused with news, it seems. This is broken." Why are you not happy, Mulk?
Oh, look, this has been my current bee in a bonnet for some time, Rob. I understand the news services. Let's go back a while before we had almost 24/7 news, right? When it was just the 6 o'clock news and maybe your breakfast news program.
Yeah.
Having a reporter at the scene of the event when there are flashing lights or funny things happening in the background, that's important. There's movement, there's story, there's all sorts of stuff happening. Having a reporter standing out the front of the courts at 6 o'clock at night for a judgment that was passed down at 11 a.m. is ludicrous. Like,
why
there's
is it?
Nothing
that's still
happening.
Where the judgment happened.
Mate, you could put them on a green screen and put the court up behind them and go, and here's, you know, such and such now reporting live from the courts. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. And now they've moved to the point where they go, well, we have to have live crosses. We've seemingly got to validate our experiences, why people want to tune into us. And they're crossing to reporters at the scene of something that happened, in this case, 2 days ago. No one gives a crap that they could have stood outside a fish and chip shop and made some joke about flake. You know, that would have had more reference to the fact that they were standing beside the lake that 2 days ago some guy caught a thing. Ideally, you'd have them sitting next to the guy and interviewing him, and here's the shark carcass, and what an amazing story, we caught a shark in a lake. Now, okay, we missed that, and I understand that it's a visual medium for news. We have to have things to see and stuff to do. Mate, just stick to the lifted story off
TikTok.
Otherwise,
it could just be a podcast.
Oh, you could do that. It's what we do, and we shout into the void every week. But the problem is they're leaning on TikTok content.
But here's the thing, Mulk. It doesn't matter. It's television. It's making entertainment. News isn't just news. Breakfast TV news isn't just news. It's a form of entertainment. What was the famous term Bolo used? Newstainment. And anyone who thinks that it's not that is sorely mistaken. Otherwise, you just have people reading copy. Got a shark, next story, next story. No, you have the live process.
No, mate, play the TikTok video and move on. That's all you need to do. Happening
so that it's just not the same shot for 3 hours.
But in this case, it's Seven's attempt.
I don't think there's a problem with this at all.
It's Seven's attempt to own a story that isn't their story to own.
So?
Right? Play the TikTok video and move on with your lives, right? If you want to show it, great. And we know, I appreciate absolutely, that breakfast television particularly is a jump-in, jump-out medium. No one really should be sitting there watching more than a half an hour of any of the breakfast shows back-to-back because that's just going to do your head in. I've flicked on the 6 o'clock news. Yeah, but that's because you're a sick man, McKnight. I flicked on the 6 o'clock news. They crossed to, I cannot remember, and I apologise, whichever reporter had that shitty gig, standing beside the lake where this thing had happened 2 days ago. It's not even like they could see a fin swimming around in the background.
But that's where it happened.
Who gives a crap, man?
But maybe that person became a journalist because they wanted to go out and film in the field, and now there's their opportunity.
How much are they regretting their life now, Sarah? How much are they reconsidering their choices?
As long as you get the information, doesn't matter that they're presenting from the actual scene of where it happened just because it was 2 days ago.
But they have them standing at where there was a car accident and there's now no car accident. And the traffic
because
is moving
freely.
Because now
you can see that it's cleared.
Oh, God, dude.
Nice.
Oh, just you're speaking so like an executive producer that cannot see any kind of objectivity in this.
It doesn't hurt the audience.
If you want to get upset
about something, Mulk, get upset about the term breaking news when something happened 4 hours ago. Or even when they're saying to breaking news, these are scenes from our helicopter, which have had time to come back, be edited, and have cuts in them. That's not breaking news. Breaking news is happening now. I'll give you 10 minutes ago. I'll give you half an hour ago. Something that happened this afternoon that you've had time to get a reporter out there and do a whole package is not breaking
news.
But,
Rob, we've had that as well. They lead stories with breaking news. Here's such and such standing out front of the court telling us about something that happened literally 6 fucking hours ago. Like,
you know what, though?
When you lead your news bulletin with that, it is not breaking news. Sorry, Sarah.
I would rather that they had delayed news that was correct than breaking news right now.
But it's bullshit.
No, no, no. Because so many times you see it in the States when there's a shooting and they're like, it's this person, they're obviously this, they're obviously that. And then, you know, 2 hours later, they're like, oh, our bad, we picked the wrong, you know, Michael, whatever.
Sarah, I was part of a whole successful campaign called First on Nine. See it first on Nine News.
Were you, Rob? We've never heard about it.
The ratings, in addition to the changes they made on air, but that was a brief for every journalist, for every cameraman, for what the news was. We are first. Yes, of course.
I'd rather you be second and be right. Be second and be correct.
Then you'll be the loser. All right. It's a big congratulations to Home and Away, which has just celebrated 8,000 episodes on this Monday night that we are recording. Sarah, that's quite an achievement. Congratulations to them, hey?
I actually saw Kate Ritchie last week. It was like her first day.
Stop it. I love
you. You were one of the first people to do that.
Stop.
No, like nobody knew yet. I actually saw it, like, because J-Mo took me in and he was like, so there's this thing happening. And Kate Ritchie was there like with like the morning. And I was like, oh my God. And so it was nice catching up. But yeah, congratulations to Home and Away. I still miss the heyday. I've not watched any of the new crap.
I have been saying for so long that I really want 7plus to put every single episode from the beginning up of Home and Away, because I genuinely would watch it. I know it's now been 8,000 episodes. I would watch all 8,000. Like, I was a massive fan.
The original
fan.
Tom and Pippa.
Yeah, I was a massive fan from 2004 to about 2008.
I never liked the second Pippa.
Karate Steven.
And similar how Prime Video is doing it with Neighbours, putting up all the episodes, I need all the episodes of Home and Away.
They haven't yet.
Yeah, I need all the episodes of Home and Away ASAP.
Anyway, congratulations to Home and Away. What an achievement. Let's open the TV binge box and find out what everyone's been watching. Abby, what have you been watching?
I have had a bit of a week. So I have just kind of turned back to my biggest comfort show, which to no surprise to anyone is Gilmore Girls. I've just been playing it 24/7. Like, honestly, I don't stop it. I have it playing on the TV, and then when I go to bed, I turn it onto the laptop, and I have it playing on the laptop. When I wake up, I go back out to the TV and turn it back on the TV. Like, wow. I just have not stopped, and because I've seen it so many times, I don't need to be kind of paying that much attention, but I just find it so comforting. But I did stop today for 30 minutes to watch another show, which I was very excited about, and I have been very disappointed by. So it's called Up Here on Disney Plus. And it's like a musical series. It's 8 episodes. Each episode's only 30 minutes, which I do appreciate because I like being able to just watch something quickly. It feels like everything now is 2 hours long. But I just had very high hopes for it. The same like Hamilton director, same songwriter as Book of Mormon. So I thought it was kind of going to be this like edgy, self-aware, musical, funny comedy. And I have only seen one episode, but so far it is not that. Mae Whitman is the main actress, who I adore as well. So I thought that would draw me in. I can't even really give you like a premise of what it's about because I don't really know. Like, nothing happens. This girl moved to New York and like they sing songs sometimes, but like there weren't even that many songs and they weren't that funny. And like, I don't know. I've just been really disappointed by it. I will watch a few more episodes because they are very quick, but yeah, that was sad.
Wow. Sounds like a stinker.
Yeah.
Talking of comfort TV, Taskmaster UK has become my new comfort TV. It's replacing The Big Bang Theory.
Thank God.
And although my wife is now saying, because if I'm just having a quick sandwich in 5 minutes, on goes Taskmaster, and she said to me just yesterday, she said, please don't put Taskmaster on. I'm sick of hearing it.
Oh.
Correct.
So I love it anyway, and I'll continue to watch it.
Sorry, did you say the Australian or the UK?
Oh. UK version. The Australian version's great. I enjoy it, but I love the UK. I'm watching the Australian version thinking of the UK version.
Sure.
But I do like the Australian version.
Do you think
version.
They've done a good enough job on the Australian version, Rob, given that you're such a fan of the UK version?
I actually think they've done it really, really well. One of the biggest problems is watching on 10 plays clunky and there's a lot of ads. And so it's actually dissuaded me from watching it on repeat and having a look at it. I haven't even seen every episode yet. Whereas when I'm on Foxtel, on Foxtel Now, I can literally just watch it. There's no ads and I'm watching just from episode to episode to episode.
Can I have a very quick 10-play rant? I know this is your binge box, I apologise, but 10-play and 7plus are infuriating me. Why is 9 now the only one of those three that you can start a show over that's live? Like, I can come in halfway into Maths and start it again and watch it, whereas if I want to watch Survivor, like tonight, I'm going to be a few minutes late for Survivor. Yep. I'm going to have to wait for it to finish before I can then watch it. It is infuriating. Anyway, please resume.
No, that's a fair rant. My second show is Lucky Hank on Stan. I really like this show. I'm not sure where it's going. I'm not sure what to expect, and that's okay. But it was one I stumbled across. I'll be honest. I stumbled across it because it sponsored the Entertainment Report on 4BC Afternoons. And
also sponsoring Hamish and Andy's podcast. They are getting their marketing money.
I mean, well, Stan are pumping it out there, but if you listen to the TV Binge Box, Rob, I was on it 3 weeks ago. I mean, I don't want to tell you how to suck eggs, but suck some eggs,
you,
mate.
You insert it into my brain and then I get prompted. You sound like my wife. How come you only listen when other people say
it? Yeah, tell me about it. It's the story of my life.
Jesus. Sarah, what have you been watching? Two shows.
Okay, I've only been watching stuff that other people have forced me to. And so last week we watched Halston, which is about the most bitchy gay, like, fashion designer who I'd never heard of ever before that show. No idea who he was, and he just seemed like a really awful person. And
like
then,
a real guy?
Yeah, he was a real... Apparently he was like this major fashion designer and he sold off his name and he died of AIDS bitter and alone. And then he had his chauffeur. And then the other thing... The other thing is at my brother's, we're watching The Last of Us.
Yes.
But I came in like at the end of an episode and we watched a couple episodes. And then when he left I had a minute, I went back and kind of watched the first one again and go like, what the fuck is going on now? Because I had no idea. So we've been watching, I've half-heartedly been watching that while I'm looking at real estate stuff on my iPad.
Mark, what have you been watching?
Heaps, Rob, quite frankly. However, I won't bore you with all of it. Look, I want a big shout out to HBO and Fox and Binge, Foxtel and Binge, who are showing the second season of Perry Mason. I was very fortunate to be able to get access to previews for the entire season. So I've smashed it. It's currently playing out on Tuesdays on Binge and Fox Showcase. It's bloody great. Matthew Rhys as the very famous lawyer, building on the second season. Again, it's got an entire narrative arc around a particular case. However, it's also about Perry Mason's development until he becomes the famous Raymond Burr champion of the people lawyer. It's bloody great. It's real, and the soundtrack is just to die for. It's LA noir drama done perfectly. That's Perry Mason. Season 2 on Fox Showcase and Binge. And I kind of lent into it a little bit before, but I will tell you that my current obsession absolutely is Alone Australia. It kicks off this Wednesday, 7:30 on SBS. There's a double episode. And then next week and for the remaining 10 episodes, 9 episodes, it'll be at 8:30, one episode a week. SBS are keeping this so close to their chest, they're not giving out previews for it. Like, wow. And they're selling it big. It is absolutely a primetime show. The casting, as I said before, was great. The way they have built this is great. It's an ITV Studios Australia production, and they have just thrown every last cent on the screen. Admittedly, they've saved a lot of cash, right? There's not a lot of cameramen involved because they give all of the participants cameras and mics and train them how to do it and then push them out into Tasmania. I can tell you there are some early tap-outs. So... It's pretty great to tune in and go, everyone's talking a big game and they reckon they're going to last forever. And the reality is that in the middle of winter in northwestern Tasmania, that is almost the second shittiest place in the world to be behind a completely snow-covered like Sweden or whatever. But Alone Australia is phenomenal television. I completely recommend it to you. It kicks off this Wednesday, 7:30, with a double episode on SBS.
Thank you, Malk. Hey, before we go... I've been sent a screenshot. It's from Warner Brothers Crewing Australia. And yes. They're casting associate producers. It's for the start, April, early May through to the end of June. And they're looking for Sydney-based associate producers with casting experience to help discover brilliant contributors for a returning large-scale reality dating show. Ooh. And there's Two Red Roses as part
of that.
So that would seem to indicate The Bachelor is coming back. I thought this
isn't
was
that the same thing,
buried.
Abby?
Maybe it's not. If it's not, that's desperation. But that also could be a misdirection. Are there any other big dating shows that aren't The Bachelor?
Farmer Wants a Wife is about to start airing.
No, but done by Warner Brothers.
No, Warner
Maybe
Brothers.
Maybe they're buying one of the foreign shows.
Yeah, well, they say a big returning reality dating show, which Bachelor fits into.
Well, but like Fuckboy Island or...
So they also have... I'm just doing a quick Google of Warner Brothers dating shows.
Bachelor in Paradise, maybe, but they swore that off.
Look, Bachelor was never cancelled except by the audience who didn't watch. But if there's a big hole in 10's schedule, or maybe some other network's picking it up. But look, 10 never said it wasn't coming back. They just
Which is that Bachelor?
Yeah. 10 never said it wasn't coming back. They just dumped it over summer and it didn't rate. And I swore that there's no way it could be coming back. That would, look, the roses really seem to indicate it is The Bachelor.
But surely that would be an obvious.
Once again, that could be a misdirection.
Two roses suggest either a male, female, as in a Bachelor, Bachelorette franchise return, or two Bachelors or two Bachelorettes.
I don't think they'll do that again because The Bachelors was a schmozzle.
What if, and this is complete hypothetical, what if it is a Bachelor and a Bachelorette simultaneously? So instead of three blokes like we had over summer, it's a lady and a bloke, so therefore in the house is a whole bunch of randy men and women.
They'll all get off with each other.
Yeah, that could actually be really good.
They're not going to give a flying fuck about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
I know, that would actually be great. There'd be so many arguments. Oh, I'm actually on board with that now. Wouldn't that just be Love Island?
Probably. Warner Brothers, call me. I'm happy to get an executive producer credit. That's all I want.
I've just had a quick look at Warner Brothers. I just Googled Warner Brothers dating show, and they did a casting call last year. I don't know if this ever amounted to anything, but it says divorced and looking for a second shot at love. Warner Brothers is looking for divorced people for a brand new dating show. Apply now.
Was that Your Mum, My Dad?
Yes.
Did they do that one?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Mm.
But yeah, the roses, I mean, the roses could be misdirection, but the challenge for the My Mum, Your Dad thing was the casting call for that was very different. They didn't mention that it was basically, you know, your children will decide who you date and how all of that works. They basically were just leaning into the, you know, your chance to second chance at love or whatever they were pitching it as. I would have to say if you were applying for that and you were so unaware that you didn't know that there was a show out there called My Mum, Your Dad. I mean, really, goodness gracious.
Anyway, we will watch that one with interest. If you know anything, send me an email, rob@tvblackbox.com.au. And that brings us to the end of TV Black Box. Abby, Malk, thank you very much, but a special thank you to returning superstar, Sarah Monahan. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Hey, it was nice seeing everyone again.
Yeah, it's a nice little reunion. And don't forget, for the latest in TV news, and it's the place where people in the industry get their news, go to tvblackbox.com.au. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.